drifting along with the breeze. Just drifting along with the breeze. I'm just drifting along with the breeze. Yo-ho-ho-ho. Just drifting along with the breeze. Now we'll take care of another request. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. Oh, they rise so high and nearly reach the sky. Oh, then like my dreams, they fade and die. Now to twiddle tree. Oh, excuse me. I didn't realize that we're officially on now. Before we get underway here, I'd like to... We have a note here that scientists from throughout the world are gathering to discuss the size of man's brain. And they also are discussing in San Diego how much of it is used and how much was actually put to work. Only about 1/100th of man's brain capacity is ever used, said Dr. Antoine Romande of Paris. He says, just to think of the tremendous importance if it uses total brain function. Oh, no, I disagree. I disagree with the good doctor that the more man uses his brain, the more dangerous he becomes. You know, this is one of the great beliefs that the non-philosophical always have. Man can only use his brain more. Gee, just think how beautiful the world would be. Well, man was really straining his brain when he came up with the atom bomb, you know. I mean, that's a far, far bigger thing than the buffaloes have come up with. Speaking of exciting moments here, I have an invitation came in the mail here. It says, I have an invitation to meet Miss Plywood. And, it is. Big jamboree there. Miss Plywood is appearing. And, you know, that hit me right between the eyes because a lot of chicks I've dated have been Miss Plywood. I mean, one way or another. Bad news. By the way, I heard a terrible joke. You know, knock-knock jokes are coming back. All right, now, would you please knock-knock? You give me a knock-knock. Put it on the intercom here. Just knock-knock. Give her the intercom there. Turn on the intercom. You know, like this little thing here that you can talk back to the studio. Just press the button there and a knock. Knock-knock. All right, no, hit. That's it. Keith's doing it right. Okay, Keith. Okay. No, wait a minute. No. I got a knock-knock. I got it. Wait. I'll knock-knock. Okay, all set now? All right, here we go. The Gestapo.
Gestapo who?
I will ask the questions. Oh, man. Why now? Let's hear that again. That was a boo. You mean you didn't enjoy it? How'd you like my accent? I will ask the questions here. All right, I'm sorry. That was a very, very, very bad show here. Very sick. Come on, let's go. Let's sing it out, gang. Sing it out. Da 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 Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba She shakes it, breaks it. Ba 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 ba
ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba
ba ba ba ba ba.
Like that old jelly on a plate. Look at her go. All together now, gang.
Every boy on our neighbor, in our neighborhood lot.
Yeah.
Now the chicken shimmy, they're all catching stock that day. I may be late, but I get up today. But I can shimmy like a dessert.
Okay, let's.
Watch your gang.
Oh, Jimmy.
Black my sister King. Ba ba boo ba boo ba boo ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba. That ain't exactly Jeffrey Holder music, is it? Oh, Jeff is so solemn. I wish I could shake it like my sister Kate. Oh, she shakes it like jelly on a plate. Hey, is it time to make the station break yet? No, not yet. No, for heaven's sakes. You know what? Speaking of this little thing here, it says, men, are you tired of women blaming you? Because I heard that, you know. I heard a chick on the air the other night, one of these angry ladies, you know, with a mustache, always appearing on Barry Farber's show called Women Strike for something, you know. You can just hear, you got these leather pants on with a bull whip, you know, and she's bugged. And she's tired of men always making women pregnant, see. And she was talking about this. And I'm listening, it's like out of Alice in Wonderland. And it's as if women had nothing to do with it. You know, as if they're kind of just standing around. Men keep doing this bad stuff. Oh, I wish I could shit me like my sister Kate. Maybe that's her problem. She can't. I'll never forget one night. You know, I wonder if women really would want equal treatment under the law and everything as to men. I'll tell you, I can just imagine about 5 million men I know suing for alimony. I get it. I mean, if they're actually treated, with the actual equity under the law. In fact, can you imagine what happens to almost every man I've ever known? Every man I've ever known has run into the law. One term or another. Right, Keith? All right. One night I'm riding over the Willis Avenue Bridge, see? And I'm playing it cool, see? And I'm just going along there. And everything's under control. I got the radio going. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, see? And I go cooling along over the bridge. And I'm the only car, see? And so I'm just going along there. And I don't know where this guy came from. It's like all of a sudden he materialized. I don't think it was a real fuzz car. I don't know. All of a sudden it's there, just like poof, out of the air. And zap, I see the U-light back of me. Whoo! Those big old red lights going, see? And I'm going along. I know there's nobody else, see? I pretend like I don't know it, see? I'm just driving along like as if it's somebody else they must be after, see? And all of a sudden this guy goes, wow! He pulls right up in front of me and is, you know, ooh, nothing's worse than to be driving along and you hear that sound. You think, ooh, they just make one little bleep on the sirens. You know, shoot, I stop. And this great big guy gets out. And he had more things rattling all over him. You know, they got straps all over him. See, he had these straps and these little things hanging on him, and they were rattling. See, I can hear him rattling as he comes back. And he's got a pair of these real big black glasses. See, he walks back. He looks in the car there, and there I am, see. Now, what have I been doing? Well, I've been with some friends, and you know, it's very innocent, you know. I'm with some friends. We had a little Chianti and a little Dago Red and that, and I'm sitting around there. And so I'm sitting in the car trying to look cute, see. And he looks in at me and he says, get out. That's all he said. Get out. What'd I do? Get out. Well, it was only one thing to do under those circumstances. And being a pragmatist, I always do what is the best thing to do under the circumstances. I mean, when in Rome, you start wearing togas, right? Okay. When that guy's looking in with them big black glasses and he says, get out. Well, by George, I reach over, see, and I start fumbling with the door handle. And wouldn't you know it, I had this door handle kept coming off this car. See, I had a four and it had a door handle come off. So I reach over and I grab the door handle, see, and of course I'm a little frantic at this point because I want to please. I'm a person who likes to please, see. So I reach over and I grab the door handle. The door handle comes off. Well, I can't get the door out. And he sticks his head. He says, get out. I said, but my door handle won't come. He says, you get out of that car. And with that, I go over to the other side quickly, out the door, and now I am out on the street. And he walks around to the side where I am, and everything's clanking on him. All right, let me see it. I said, what? Don't give me no lip. Let me see it. Oh. By George. Oh, then it hit me. Oh, my God. I have not renewed my driver's license. I knew there was something. Let me see it. I reach into my wallet, see. And I got my driver's license, see, my old one. So I'm sort of fumbling around. Just give me it. I'll find it. Takes the wallet, and there it is. He looks at it. He looks down at the driver's license, and he looks at me. Is this you? Yeah. Don't give me that. This is a Goyle's car. J-E-A-N. Oh, you're driving around. You got some chick's driver's license. Hey, Chuck! With that, the other guy comes out of the pool. Now I got two of them. They got a live one. I don't know what I did. All I know is that now I'm really, you know, ever since I've been a kid, I've been fighting guys about my first name, you know? Oh, this is WOR, friends in New York.
Oh, aged calabashes, meerschaums, hand-carved briars. We are only discussing just the very skim, just the very outermost limits of what they have down at Nat Sherman. Nat Sherman. They're at between 38th and 39th streets on Broadway, and it's this great store. Now, if you're just walking around town and you want to refresh your soul, you just walk into Nat Sherman's and take a good, clean, deep breath. Fantastic place. What a smell. It smells great. About 25,000 types of esoteric tobaccos. And if you'd like to have one of their groovy catalogs, you just call 524-1400 tomorrow. 524-1400 tomorrow and ask if Joel's okay. Just ask if he's okay and tell him you want the catalog. Nat Sherman, 1400 Broadway, between 38th and 39th, right in the heart of Fun City. Hey, you still got time to send in your dime or your dollar or whatever it is you want to send for the Christmas fund. So you better get on the stick, and as you know, it's for the kids, the hospitalized, needy kids in this area, and is really a great charity. So send your check and money order and or to WOR Christmas Fund, Box 710, Times Square Station, New York, New York. Get on the stick. Do it now.
Greetings, friends. This is Carlton Fredericks. I've been recommending Jack Post imported wines for more than 20 years. I know there are wines with faint-hearted flavors and wines with flavors that disguise the taste of food, but then there is Melba, the imported dinner wine with a fruity, herby tang that never varies and always accents the taste of food. It's a great Italian wine, Melba, with a tantalizing touch of sun-ripened strawberries, delightfully spiced with rare herbs to stimulate appetite and enhance the flavor of fish and fowl and red meat and even eggs. Melba pre-chilled and served in champagne glasses with hors d'oeuvres is an elegant way to start any meal, and when dining, my family and I dine leisurely, enjoying the taste of Melba. So buy Melba today at restaurants and wherever wines are sold, and I know you'll sing its praises because Melba is delightful. Melba is Melba, not just another name for the usual wine. So remember the name Melba, imported by 21 Brands, New York.
And so this guy, this cop's got my license in his hand. See, he has not yet noticed it's about 9 months lapsed. See, all he sees is the name. He says, hey, come here, Chuck. Hey, Chuck. With that, Chuck comes out. And Chuck, I want to tell you, Chuck looks like King Kong. I don't know where they got a big uniform like that. It was fantastic. This guy, you could see hair sticking out of his neck all over. And it was the first, really, he had claws, you know. He comes out. And he comes walking back towards me, this great big guy, really about, oh, I'd say a good 800, maybe 900 pounds. He comes walking, you know, and we're walking on and Willis Avenue Bridge, see, and I could feel the bridge going up and down when he walks. He's walking like that towards me. He's like, clump, 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 Chuck. And the other guy's got this license. He's looking at it. He's got this, you know, this little light they carry. He's looking at it. And he keeps looking at me. And he keeps shining light. He says, hey, Chuck, get out the book. What book? What book have they got? I wonder if you've ever seen this book, friends. Do you know that the Fuzz carries a book that's got the pictures of all the really bad guys in the world in it? Did you know that? The real wanted ones, the real bad ones? It's get out the book. They start going through this book, looking at the pictures.
I can, oh, my God. You know, my trouble is I look like everybody. You know that, Keith? I look like everybody. That's my trouble. My mother doesn't remember how I look, you know? I'm one of these guys. I look like total everyman. And, you know, I can look like any one of 722 thugs in this guy's book. And I can just see me, you know, big lefty Bandini. They finally spot me, you know? The guy that knocked over 42 banks in Oklahoma and has been on the lam, you know? Dangerous. This man is armed, you know? I'm standing up against the car guy, and these two guys are walking around. He says, give me the book. They start looking. And Chuck then, for the first time, talks. He goes, what? That's all he said.
Hey.
And I said, hello. And he takes his light, and he looks me right in the eye.
So what's your name?
I said, Gene. Gene Shepherd.
You like that? You got a name like that slob on the radio.
Oh, I got a name like that slob on the radio now.
He's, don't give me that. I listen to that guy. You ain't Gene Shepherd. He's tall and skinny, got a beard.
What am I going to do now? Not only am I'm obviously driving with somebody else's driver's license, which is 9 months overdue, plus the fact I am now impersonating an officer. It's like, you know, you get out of the car and a guy says, who are you? He says, you say Johnny Carson. He hits you on top of the head, right? You don't get smart, see? And I realize I got nothing on me to prove I'm me. Nothing except this old out-of-date driver's license. $2 $1 bills. I got $1 $5 bill and I got a $2 bill. You know what a $2, you know, $2. I keep this $2 bill with me, see, all the time. Because somewhere along the line, I learned that I can't figure out, are they unlucky or lucky? Well, I don't know. Maybe I've been getting the wrong dope for years because somebody told me they was lucky, and I've been carrying one for years, and nothing's ever happened but bad stuff. Maybe I better get rid of this mother. But nevertheless, I'm standing in front, I'm telling you, I'm standing by this car, see, and these two guys are walking around me now, and one says,
hey, this guy says he's like the guy on the radio. He's using the name of the guy on the radio. You know that guy, Chuck, we listen to once in a while on the radio at night, comes on after what's-his-name, Ferber. This guy that's always, this southern guy that's always fetching on the radio, you know?
I said, yeah, that's Barry Farber.
Don't tell me how to talk, Mac.
Oh, everything I say, I'm going downhill. I can feel the quicksand coming up around me, you know, the glop. And I'm standing on the Willis Avenue Bridge, and by now they got me over the front of the hood of the car, and they're starting to pat my pockets. You know, well, you've seen, have you ever seen guys do this? And all, by this time, drivers are driving by, see, and I can see them looking. I can see guys, you know, driving by, they're coming home from parties and stuff, and they're saying, hey, they got a guy. Look at, they got one of them gunmen, you know, the guys have been hearing about on WNS, probably the guys that robbed that bank in Long Island. Look at that guy. Look at that guy. Boy, does he look like a bad one. And they're driving, here I am over the car, and they're patting me. I still don't know what I did, see? I don't know what I did. And so finally, it occurred to me to ask him, see? And I'm getting a little scared. Excuse me.
What do you want?
And they're still looking at all my stuff in my wallet. They're taking out the $1 bill, you know. He says, what do you want? I says, what did I do?
You know what you done.
I know what I done. I mean, don't tell me that my whole past is catching up with me now. I mean, you go up to any guy on the street, friends, any guy, and if he's walking along dreaming, Keith, this would work with you, it would work with any guy I know. It would work with Nixon, anybody. It would work with Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. You're walking along the street, see, your mind is off somewhere in left field, and you come up behind a guy real quick and tap him on the shoulder and say, okay, Mac, it's all over. And he gets scared. Oh, my God, they got me. I know it. And then he says, what'd I do? You say, you know what you've done. His first impulse would be to say, but I didn't mean it. I didn't know any better. Oh, yeah. Every guy's got his little collection of things that he's done all throughout his life. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care who you are. You have planted your little garden of posies. And they're growing somewhere, see? Well, you, and they're way in the back of your mind. So here I am hanging over the front end of this car, see?
And this guy's patting my behind, you know. He's looking for my anything else I got, you know. And have you ever, you know, when they go up under your arms, see, apparently they got shoulder holsters. These real bad guys, he's patting me on them. He says, hold your hands up. So he's patting on here. He goes down, he pats my knees and all that stuff. And I'm really feeling like a desperado, you know. By now, see, I hope they don't discover, you know, I got holes in my jockey shorts, you know. I'm wearing my old shorts today, you know. He's patting me. And with that, all of a sudden, the guy says, hey, Chuck. The big one. He says, hey, Chuck. And Chuck says, what do you want? He says, hey, Chuck. This is a girl's name, you know. These guys, what did he do? Did he steal this license from the guy? You know, I think his name is spelled with a J, the guy that's on the radio. I bet he stole this guy's license. I said, no, I am Gene Shepherd. I said, do you want me to say something funny? You want me to, you know, be funny, do something like I do on the radio? With that, the second cop says, don't get funny. I could tell a phony I've been in this car now for 30 years. I could tell a phony a mile away and use a phony. I said, well, what do I do now? They know. With that, the second one goes back into the squad car, and he's calling headquarters. He gets this thing on, you know, with the radio. I hear him in there saying something, and I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. This is one of the world, you know, one of the world's worst feelings when you begin to feel that you're being enmeshed with the law. I'm telling you, it's a bad feeling, friends. So I'm standing there. The cop that's watching me is saying nothing. He's just standing around here. And then I got an inspiration. It hit me. After about 10 minutes of this panic, it hit me. It just hit me like that, see. I says, hey, listen, call WOR. Call WOR. Call them up, and they'll tell you. Hey, that ain't a bad idea. Out there. All right, he says, you get in your car, we'll follow you. Let's go down to the end of the street down there and get that phone booth, and we'll call WOR and see if he's really what you say he is. And so I get in my car, I'm scared, and they're driving right behind me. Have you ever been followed by a car that is following you? He's right on my bumper with the U light going. That red light going. Oh, boy, it keeps reflecting in the mirror. See, and I could see people driving by and looking. And now, guys, I could see them looking out at apartment houses all around there looking. See, they want to see, you know. Oh, boy, they really got some bad. Any minute, there's going to be a shootout, see. So when I get down to the end there, the street where there's this phone booth. I get out, and they stop. I got a dime. So I'm looking at my dime. He says, I'll dial a number, Mac. Give me the dime. They're going to see. He says, what's the number? Have your mind, little cells in your mind, ever completely blanked out? I know the number of this damn station like I know my own name. I could not think of the number. It was gone. I said, the number, and boy, I could see the look of suspicion come over this guy's face like a tidal wave. You know, he's fingering that billy he's got, you know. Any minute now, I'm going to get a couple upside the head, you know. He's waiting, see. He says, I'll find a number. He says, hang in there. He says, you watch him, Chuck. With that, he dials information. He says, I want WOR number. Keeps looking out at me. And I'm trying to think number. Oh, God, I got to think of the number. I got to think of that number. I couldn't think of that number for hell. I just couldn't think of anything. I guess your mind just goes completely blank when you're under these things. I just wonder how many guys have confessed to stuff, have blurted out insanities, have been totally suspicious just because of total fright. That's all, complete. And so I'm standing, and now a couple of kids come walking. They stand there and look, see. And it was at that moment that a fantastic thing happened. There's two or three kids. They're drifting down the street. They're coming from a party or something. One guy's got one of these satin jackets, you know, that says 23rd Street AC on the back. And the cop is standing over by the squad car. He's waiting for a call. He's listening to the radio. And all the time, you know, I can hear that radio. That's the way it goes all the time. And people wake up. They hear it, you know. That's the radio's going, see? And it's silent. And this cop is dialing information, trying to get the WOR number, when all of a sudden, it happened. Now I'm a believer in miracles.
These kids are walking down the street, and one of them looks at me and says, "Hey! Hey! Hey, Manny! That's Gene Shepard!" I turn to this kid, and the two cops turn. Can you imagine? To this day, I don't know who these three kids are. Can you imagine the three kids have seen Gene Shepard getting busted? And I am really busted. I mean, it's obvious. I'm not having a friendly little political talk with the cops there. It's obvious that we're not talking about the Mets, because that cop is not. He's looking out at me with that angry look, and the other cop is just looking at me with a cool look. And the kid says, "Hey, Manny, look, that's Gene. Hey, Shep, how are you? Excelsior, Shep, Excelsior. Oh, wow, Excelsior." I turned to the kid and I says, "Oh, kid, hi, man." I said, "Holy smokes, tell these guys who I am." And with that, one of the kids, "Oh, hey," he said, "that's Gene Shepard. Don't you know that's Gene Shepard?" And the big cop who was standing over next to the squad car, his big, fat grin comes out. He says, "Don't tell." He says, "Are you Gene Shepard? You really are Gene Shepard?" I says, "You bet." Now I'm beginning to feel 10 feet tall. So I says, "Yeah, that's right." He says, "You're Gene. Hey, Chuck, come on out of the booth. Chuck, this is Gene Shepard. Oh, Gene, we listen to you every night on the radio. Hey, that time you told about the ice cream war, that was so groovy. And I'll tell you the time that you did the thing about the Army ball game. Oh, that was fantastic. Hey, Chuck, come on. Hey, listen, Shep, here's the cop, though. Hey, Shep, can I have an autograph?" With that, he gives me his book, you know, with all the tickets and all that stuff. I said, "Why, of course, officer. What is your name?" All the guys call me Big Freddy. Why? Just why? To Big Freddy Excelsior on it. I says, "To Big Freddy Excelsior, Gene Shepard." "Oh, boy, wait till my kid sees this." He says, it's groovy. "The next time you get on the radio, listen, would you say hello to the guys in car number 422-6 SJ7 over at the 928th precinct? And by the way, say hello to Chuck and Freddy. We'll hear you on the radio. So, Chuck and Freddy, if you're listening tonight, old Shep is digging you, all right? All right." Yeah. How about that for a little drama? Did you enjoy that drama? That's a true story, man. I'll tell you, it was one of the worst things that ever happened to me. Oh, wow. Oh, man, that was Nervousville. Oh, listen, did I ever tell you about the time I got busted by the MPs? Oh, did I tell you about that night? Oh, listen, any guy who's ever been a yardbird in the Army, anybody who's ever been in the armed forces, and I'm going to tell you an Army story right now, if you don't mind, talking about getting busted. you see, when you're in the Army, you're always afraid that somebody's sneaking up on you. You just develop this. It's just a natural thing, especially if you're an enlisted man. I mean, a real low enlisted man. Now, of course, when you get to be what they call a top three grader, I mean, you've got the catbird seat. Man, you own the catbird. I mean, you know, if you're a tech sergeant or a master sergeant, you ever in the Army, Keith? Oh, well, you missed a good part of life. I'll just tell you a little story about getting busted. You know, one of the things that happens in the Army, if you're out there, you know, driving around, you see some guy in the armed forces, just, I don't care whether he's a sailor or a Marine or a soldier walking around out there. He's got one thing in his pocket. Well, he's actually got two. He's got that one, he's got his pass. To get out of the Army post or to walk around, you have to have a pass to show what you're doing here, see? Two, he's usually got his ID, which is a card that shows that you're a yardbird. And it tells, you know, got your number and all that stuff on it. And you got your dog tags. That's all you got to prove who you are. That's it. Now, why do you need these? Well, now, you've seen these guys walking around once in a while with the big white hats. Well, you seen those guys? Now, sometimes they wear this big armband. Yeah, that armband says MP. Now, if you're in the Navy, it says SP. Okay? That's Shore Police or Military Police is what it stands for. No matter how you slice it, though, friends, it's fuzz. That's what it is. Now, these are not your buddies. not if you're a PFC and you're about 4 hours overdue on a pass. You ain't. So, one night, and it's terrible moments, I'll never forget this night, and anybody who's listening in the Army now will know this feeling, this sinking sensation, terrible sensation. I am in this southern town,
which is bad enough right there. That's got a lot of things going against it right from the start, because there's a certain, I mean, I don't know, it's hard to describe it. A lot of things I dig about the South, a lot of other things that, you know, are very questionable. But one night, it's about 10:30 at night, and it's a hot, steamy, shifting, walking around, one of those itchy nights in the middle of summer in deep southern Florida. Now, I have seen this place since. I've driven through this town. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you the town. It was the town of Stuart, Florida, if you've ever heard of Stuart. Stuart, Florida. And I've driven through there, and I've even looked at this place since. But at this time, it looked almost exactly the way it looks now, except for one thing. It was not tourist time. It was the middle of July. The temperature, I would say, was in the vicinity of, it was a cool night. It was down around 95, I'd say. It was one of those cool nights. It was 90, 95 degrees. And me and this other guy, me and Gasser, have gotten a night out. We got the pass, see? Now, we had gotten off work that afternoon at 4 o'clock. We came into town to go to a movie. It's about all the only action in town, you know. We went to a movie. We went out and we had our dinner, our little dinner we bought this place to get out of the GI food. We're having a very, very, very circumspect evening. We have not done a darn thing. Nothing has happened. Everything is cool. And we're walking around town, just looking at the town. It's now about 8:30, something like that. Now, our pass is good for, I think, 1 o'clock in the morning. It's around 8:30 at night, so everything is kind of cool. And we're walking along, and we meet two other guys from our barracks. One of these guys I will never forget as long as I live. His name is Nash. I meet old Nash, and Nash was a tall, skinny guy who had a kind of a pasty face. And he looked a little bit like, pictures you see of Harold Lloyd. He looked studious. He looked very, almost like, if you could imagine, a tall, skinny Woody Allen. And very, very serious. He never said anything that wasn't serious. And so we meet Nash, and along with Nash is a guy named Di. Now, Di, he is even more studious than Nash. These are two very studious men. And Di is kind of short, and he's very, very nervous type. And his friend Nash is a tall, skinny, calm, very, very placid, but very, very serious guy. And along comes Gasser and Shepard. And I see the two, and I said, "Hey, Nash, how are you?" "Well, I'm fine." He was from Tennessee. "So I'm fine." "So what are you doing?" "Oh, we are just walking around town, enjoying the sights. And Di and I have decided that we'd kind of like to take a little ride into Palm Beach. The bus leaves for Palm Beach in about 10 minutes. Would you guys like to go to Palm Beach with us? We'd like to walk around and look at Palm Beach." "Well, that's a short ride." So Gasser looks at me, and I look at Gasser. And Gasser says, "That sounds like fun. Now, what do you say?" Well, our pass was good for a 50-mile radius from the camp, which was not really a camp, but it was just a little a clearing in the woods back in the Everglades. So that's really what it was. Which was populated almost exclusively by 722 trillion mosquitoes and 94 bull alligators and us. That was it. And so I thought, gee, Palm Beach, that does sound interesting. I have never been to Palm Beach. And we had just arrived on this place, so we'd never been there. So we go down to the bus station, and all four of us buy a ticket to Palm Beach. Now, we're being very circumspect. You never saw four more upright, honest, reliable, Sunday school type GIs. You know, the usual GIs, they go out and they get bagged, you know, and they're chasing chicks. We are merely going to see, we are merely going over to take a look at Palm Beach. So we get into the bus, and it rattles off into the night. And, it's kind of fun. So we're sitting there, we're talking, little idle chit-chat, like, did you notice the library? They have a very interesting library there in Stuart. Did you notice that, Nash? "Yes, it is very interesting. They have a wonderful archaeology department. I was really surprised at the archaeology library they have in that very small library. Very interesting." And with that, Di says something like, "Yes, that's true."
And here we are. And of course, all around us are these nice people. And we're driving into Palm Beach. Well, we arrive at the bus station in Palm Beach. Little did we realize we were stepping right into the middle of a fantastic, disastrous maelstrom. We get out of the bus. Palm Beach, Florida. Now, you've all heard. Actually, it's West Palm Beach was where we were in. West Palm Beach, Florida. And so we're looking about. It looks beautiful. We've never seen this beautiful town. We've all of our lives, we've heard about Palm Beach. See, Shepherd is 17. You got it? That's how old he is. Gasser is just about pushing 18. I'd say he was probably 18. I would say Mr. Nash was possibly roughly 20. He was the old man in the crowd. And Di, who thought like an old man, was actually about 19. And so here we are. First night in Palm Beach. And we see this beautiful waterway. You know, there's a waterway that runs along West Palm Beach. The inland waterway, it's beautiful, see? And it was there. It was in the bridges are going across. And so we stopped on a street corner, asked somebody, where is Palm Beach? See, this was West Palm Beach. And the guy says, well, you just go right over that bridge there. He says, go over the causeway, and that's Palm Beach. It's right over there. You just walk across over there, and you're on Palm Beach. Why, I do believe I'll do that, said Nash. And so we walked across this causeway, and incidentally, we walked into disaster. There were two, Coast Guard Shore Patrol guys standing at the base of this bridge. Now, we walk across it, and they see the four of us, and they just look at us real cool-like. They had these white helmets on. They watch these four GIs, because they don't know, you see. An SP or an MP, at least in those days, the first, you were always guilty unless proven innocent. And the proof took a hell of a lot of proving. That's all I got to say. So we walk across the bridge. Now, the first thing that we see on the other side of the bridge is beautiful. These palm trees are just lovely, hanging all over the place. And we're gawking, you know, our eyeballs are just bugging, and they've got them lit, you know, just beautiful place. It's just like paradise. And out of this terrible hellhole that we had come, all four of us, we're now suddenly in this magnificent, you could smell flowers blooming. The one thing that hits you about Palm Beach at night is you smell these flowers everywhere. It's just tremendous. And we're just sort of gassed. Gasser, who was, you know, he says, this is really great. I said, it's really, wow, you know, it's fantastic. And you see a couple of beautiful girls walk by, and the night, and everything is soft, tropical. You know how a tropical night is, Keith. It's, you know, it just sends you out of your birds. Whew, boy, and wow, there's a moon hanging over this thing. It's about 19,000 feet across, and it's just beautiful. And we're walking along this magnificent road that leads right into the causeway, the four of us. You never saw four more innocent GIs in your life. We have nice pressed suntans on, everything nice and clean. Our passes are all in order. And we're walking past this bar. Well, now, it would never occur to me to go to a bar. I'm not a bar type. It would never occur at that time, anyway. It would never... I mean, at that time, I was just being weaned from Ovaltine. I had just started to drink Coca-Cola straight. You know, up to that time, I had diluted it. You know, I used to take Coca-Cola, you know, with a little water on the side. You know, it was pretty strong. So, Gasser, you see, Gasser, I suspect, still to this day doesn't drink. You know, he's a real Billy Grant. You know. So we're walking down... With that, Nash says, say, fellas, here's the old man of the crowd, see, and he's very distinguished. He says, fellas, I'd be glad to set you for, he said, just as a kind of a celebration as our first pass who got in here in town, I'd be glad to set you up to a little drink of some kind. Well, you know, I've been hearing this all of my life, and here I can't say, well, I'm just a kid, you know, and I don't, so, Di says nothing. Gasser says nothing. And I say nothing. And so with that, Nash says, well, you just come on. Let's go in and have a little drink. This guy is the absolute most distinguished GI we've got in the whole company. We walk in, and it's one of these bars that's got the purple lights. Have you seen the kind with the purple and the red lights that kind of move? It's got stained glass stuff all over the bottom. Very elegant. It's dark, you see, in this place. Mirrors all over the place, see? And here's this bartender. He's working away there. And we walk in and sit down at the bar. All four. It's the first time I ever was at a bar, actually. and the four of us sat at a bar. I have no idea what to order. And so Nash looks at the bartender. The bartender looks at Nash and says, "What do you have, man?" He spits. With that, Nash says, "Well, I believe I have a double Southern Comfort." Well, I never heard Southern Comfort. What the hell's that, see? Well, so the bartender looks up and down the line. With that, Dye says, "I'll have the same." Gasser says, "Yeah, me too." And I say, "Well, yeah." And I have my first Southern Comfort. Well, Nash takes his Southern Comfort. I never saw anything like it. Nash takes his Southern Comfort and he just goes, just down like that. Just goes, it just goes. So I pick mine up and I sip it. Oh, it tastes so good. Ooh, this tastes like, I'll tell you what it kind of tastes like. It tastes like a turned on Karo syrup. If you can imagine Karo syrup that suddenly got awful hip, it tastes so good, you know. I just taste it. Ooh, I never thought it tasted like, you know, it was so good. Nash then has another one. He goes, and it was just then that it happened. Nash had three Southern Comforts. I'm still drinking my first one, and so was Gasser and Dye down, and we're sipping. It's very strong. Nash has had three of them, and he changes. All of a sudden, he changes, and two sailors have sat down at the end of the bar. With that, Nash gets up and he says, "Who are you looking at, smart guy?" He gets up, he walks down, he grabs one of these sailors by the back of the neck, and he throws him down to the floor. He says, "Who are you looking at, sailor boy? I'm going to kick your guts right out through your ears." And he gives him a kick. Well, all of a sudden, there's a fight going on in the bar. Three more sailors jump out of a booth in the rear, and now we're in the middle of a fantastic fight. 17 guys are fighting. I'm looking at Gasser. Gasser's looking at me. With that, all of a sudden, Nash takes the sailor, and he throws him right through the front window of this bar. Crash! Like that. Oh, my God, what's happening? I run out of the door. I'm running down the street. I'm running with Gasser. Gasser says, "You and your damn Palm Beach, look at what you got us into now. I'm running down the street. I can hear the sirens coming from all over. There's sirens coming from thousands of miles around. And I'm running down the beach. Running and running and running. I'll tell you, I was in real good condition. I was in real good condition. But I want to tell you, I was covering the ground so fast, I could just feel my breath coming up in big, sharp, burning gas from way down on the bottom. You know, running, and I see these red lights, and I can hear the bar crashing back of us. Nash is cleaning up on 500 guys. He turned into King Kong. I'm running down the street, and all of a sudden, these two SPs are standing in front of the two of us. One guy tackles me around the knees, and the other guy gives a block and throws Gasser down, and the two of us are down and laying there. And that SP just looks down at us. He says, "All right, you guys, I'm just going to wait and see what happens in that bar. You just stay right where you are." That began one of the most fascinating 3 days I ever spent. You're listening to a guy who spent 3 days in a Navy slam. Bring it up. Woo, what a night. Yeah. I've been there, friends. I've been there.